Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I have a very, very interesting topic, and it's very, very timely. It's very relevant, and it is very interesting. Did I say it's interesting? It's very interesting. I have Jim Lang on the line with me. He's a CPA and an attorney. He's a registered investment advisor, and he specializes in work in the tax area. But also, because of that, his legal background, he also specializes in estate planning. And we have a very specific subject we want to get into today with Jim, and that is planning for same-sex couples. And Jim has written the book, and I'm holding it here. Jim was generous enough to send it to me, Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples. And Jim, I am very pleased to have you on the program. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, David.
Well, it's my pleasure. And again, Jim is a CPA and an attorney and practices in this specialty area of the estate planning for same-sex couples and financial planning. And his website is outestateplanning.com. And he also does tax strategies as well. So again, Jim, I'm really interested and glad you can be with us. And I want to just dive right in, if you don't mind. You wrote the book, of course, to answer a lot of questions that people have in same-sex relationships, these couples that are navigating the challenges of the tax code and other things that affect them in their planning. And so I guess the first question is, what prompted you to write the book and really focus and concentrate on this area?
Well, there were a couple changes in the tax laws. One that started with a case called Windsor versus U.S. that basically found certain provisions of DOMA, which was the Defense of Marriage Act, unconstitutional. So it started with a federal Supreme Court case, but then much more important than the Supreme Court case that really had to do with estate taxes was a revenue ruling, 2013-17, that had to do with income taxes. And what was so interesting about that revenue ruling is it said, we don't care what the law of the particular state that you live in, if you get married in a state that recognizes same-sex couples, you will be treated like a married couple. And since in the IRA world, there's huge advantages that we can get into of being married for IRAs and retirement plans and estate planning purposes, I thought, wow, this could be so wonderful, because all these same-sex couples that have really had a pretty bad deal in terms of taxes and particularly inheriting IRAs and retirement plans, no matter where they live, they can get married and literally save hundreds of thousands and in some cases millions of dollars. So I thought, well, I'm the guy to write the book because I understand IRAs and retirement plans. I understand Social Security, which is the other big factor for getting married. And I'm basically going to write a book about what same-sex couples should be thinking about financially. It was really an exciting thing for me to find out and apply.
Well, and for our listeners, Jim, I can vouch for the complexity for same-sex couples because I have worked with same-sex couples in planning their finances and their retirement, and that complexity because of some of these provisions that you just mentioned where they were not afforded the opportunities, for example, like the IRA, to be able to have their same-sex partner receive that IRA as a spousal rollover as opposed to it being an inherited IRA, they really have had to jump through a lot of extra hoops that the traditional marriages did not have to go through to accomplish the same result. And so it is a very complicated area. And so this revenue ruling, I guess the first thing is this revenue ruling in 2013, does it say then that obviously for tax purposes that the same-sex couple, if they are married in a state that recognizes same-sex marriage, doesn't matter where they then live and from what state they are domiciled and file their tax return, for federal tax purposes, they are considered a married couple all the way down the line?
Yes, that was okay. That was actually a very good paraphrase of the revenue ruling.
Oh, thank you.
And to emphasize the point, what basically the revenue ruling says is we are going to recognize your marriage as long as you got married in a state that recognizes marriage.
Okay.
So let's say for discussion's sake that you are a same-sex couple living in Florida that has a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage,
okay,
even as of today.
Okay.
So let's say that you're living in Florida, but you want to enjoy the tax benefits of being married for federal income tax purposes. You can go to a state like New York or California, or now recently my own state of Pennsylvania, that where the law just changed just months ago. You could go to that state, get married there. That's called the law of celebration, meaning the law where you actually get married. Return to Florida where you live, which is referred to as the law of domicile where you live. And for federal income tax purposes, they will recognize your marriage as long as you got married in a state that does recognize same-sex marriages.
Okay. So here's, for our listeners' benefit, Jim, once this has all been accomplished and the union is recognized as a marriage for tax purposes, what I was getting at also was that it goes all the way down the line. So you can do things like the IRA spousal rollover, that instead of it being treated as an inherited IRA. And we can get into some of those details, but there's a significant tax advantage there. But you file a joint tax return?
Yes, you do. Now, to be fair, sometimes it's not always an advantage.
Ah.
You've heard of,
sure,
you know, the marriage penalty. Well, that you could end up with the marriage penalty. So, you know, particularly when you have two people earning, let's say, roughly the same amount of money in a relatively high tax bracket, the marriage penalty could really hurt them. Now, on the other hand, you might have somebody where, let's say, one person is making a fair amount of money, the other is not, in which case there will be a marriage bonus. So I don't want to say that it's, you know, it's always wonderful, but particularly for older, talking about people in their 60s and older, the benefits of just that IRA rollover or trustee-to-trustee transfer can literally be hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that could make any income tax savings pale in terms of federal income tax, that is on the 1040 purposes. Those savings could pale in compared to the estate advantages of having the IRA rollover.
Excellent.
Then there's the Social Security issue, which,
yeah,
is,
we got to get to that too.
Equally powerful.
Well, Jim, since my wife listens to this program, I will say that marriage is always a bonus. Okay, but what we'll do, Jim, is let's grab a break. We'll come back, and I want to dig a little bit more into the IRA taxes because I think that's a huge benefit that people need to be aware of, and we'll get to Social Security. If you're just joining us, Jim Lang, CPA attorney, is on the line with me. He has written the book Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples. OutEstatePlanning.com is the website. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And we are back with Jim Lang, CPA attorney, written a book, Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples, and the website, outestateplanning.com. I've already visited the website and a lot of resources there. Be sure to go and take a look and get the book. Very helpful, very relevant. And Jim, I want to jump back and talk with you a little bit. You know, you and I, of course, are very familiar with the differences between the spousal rollover and the inherited IRA. But for the benefit of the other 99% of the population that is not quite as intimately aware of those differences, why don't you walk us through, give us the 50,000-foot overview of the difference there of the taxation for couples and how they handle those IRA assets or retirement assets, 403B, 401Ks, all of that difference, the qualified money, how those are handled, and why that's such a big deal to you and me.
Well, under the current law, if you are not married and you die with your IRA, and let's say you leave it to your partner, or for that matter, anybody who you are not married to, your partner remember, nobody's paid income tax on this money. So if your partner has to take money out of the IRA faster than he or she wants, what will happen is you'll be paying more taxes up front than you would perhaps like, and the money that you pay in taxes will no longer be available for investment. Now, if you are married, it basically, without getting into the technical details, it considerably slows the amount that you are required to take out of your IRA, or if you're not married, we call it an inherited IRA, and the time difference of the taxes that you pay, depending on the assumptions that you make, can easily be hundreds of thousands of dollars, and potentially over $1 million. And we have a potential big change in the IRA law that will make every beneficiary of an IRA, with the exception of married beneficiaries, be required to take all their IRA out within 5 years after the death of the IRA owner. And if that happens, I'm looking at a chart in the book right now where there is literally over $1 million difference between two couples, one that gets married, dies with an IRA, leaves it to the spouse, versus doesn't get married, dies with an IRA, leaves it to the partner. Over $1 million difference.
Well, we better be careful, Jim. You might be giving the IRS some ideas on accelerating that tax revenue. It's a huge difference. And so it basically, the thing for our listeners also to know is that if this is their situation, you give yourself and your spouse a lot more options with the marriage with regard to IRAs and all these. And I would imagine that that also opens up opportunities on the pension side in terms of options that are available. Is there, this filters over to ERISA and defined benefit plans and all of that as well?
Yes, it does. So this is a pretty sweeping revenue ruling that really has major, major impact. And again, though, to be fair, you have to, you know, like the doctor says, first do no harm. There are some potential ways people could get hurt. So, for example, if you're a same-sex couple, one's making a lot of money, one is not making a lot of money. The one not making a lot of money is getting health care through, well, the Affordable Health Care Act, or Obamacare, as it's better known. If they get married, their premium might go up so much that they might hesitate to do it. So, for example, we have one same-sex couple who's planning, who are in their 60s, but they're waiting until they're age 65 to get married when one will apply for Medicare. So, again, I don't want to say that this is just an easy thing that your listeners should just go out, get married tomorrow without understanding the consequences. Benefits can be so great,
right,
particularly for people in their 60s and older, that sometimes the insurance or income tax, short-term income tax penalties would pale in comparison to the benefit.
So I know you and I have talked about this, that, you know, some of the same things that we're talking about for same-sex couples could very well apply to unmarried couples of opposite sex that may want to consider some of the implications here as well for their circumstances. Now, you mentioned another very interesting point as it relates to health care. You confirm what I suspected, which is that these changes also affect, you know, the option, for example, that single person, quote unquote, single person, as far as the employer is concerned, who is now married in the same-sex marriage, that they might have additional options for taking a single versus a joint life survivorship option for their pension that they didn't have before, even though they had that relationship. But you also then have with benefits, with health insurance and the like as well, right?
That's right. And some companies already have benefits for same-sex couples who are not married, but if they get married, now that income that they used to attribute to a same-sex couple who was not legally married goes away. So your tax savings are, you know, you might be saving taxes on, say, $10,000 or something like that, depending on how much the benefit is. So it can be quite considerable.
It's very interesting. Let's do this, Jim. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come back. I want to get into Social Security because that's another big one. You mentioned the people in their 60s. Jim Lang is our guest. He's a CPA and attorney, registered investment advisor, outestateplanning.com, and the book, Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. We're with Jim Lang, CPA attorney, and he is helping us understand the implications of the law change, the Supreme Court ruling, and also a revenue ruling by the IRS about same-sex marriages and taxes. And the next one, of course, is Social Security. I wanted to get to what created the opportunity for the change on Social Security. Was that the Supreme Court or the tax ruling, Jim?
Well, actually, for the purposes of Social Security, we do not have the benefits, and there's a significant difference in the law for income tax purposes.
Yeah, I wanted you to get to that because it is a little wrinkle.
Yeah, see, what happened, basically, the revenue ruling said, hey, we are going to recognize a marriage as long as it was a legally performed marriage in the state of celebration that we talked about earlier. So again, if a Florida resident who cannot legally get married in Florida runs to Pennsylvania or New York or California or somewhere where marriage is legal, same-sex couple marriage is legal, they get married and they come back to Florida, for federal income tax purposes, they are considered married.
But
unfortunately, they are not considered married for the purposes of Social Security.
Unless they got married and live in a state where it is legal.
That is correct.
Okay. It doesn't have to be the same state, though. They just have to reside.
They have to reside in one of the, I think it's 17 states that it is legal now.
So they get married in Pennsylvania, but then live in New York, and they're okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That would be fine. So, so for the people who live in one of those 17 states, you can get all the spousal benefits that a traditionally married couple has, and that's probably worthy of several radio shows.
Yeah, it is.
Talking about the apply and suspend technique, which literally I have a chart in front of me now where the difference in that alone is over $1 million in time.
Yeah.
And the claim now and claim more later,
mm-hmm.
and then the spousal survivor benefits, which it might not be millions of dollars, but it might be the difference between the surviving spouse having a comfortable retirement and the surviving spouse being broke. So using those techniques are very important if you're in one of the states that does recognize same-sex marriage. Now, there's also some strategies that people that live in states that don't recognize same-sex marriage should consider anyway, but they're nowhere near as certain or as powerful as if you live in a state that does recognize same-sex marriage.
But there are strategies beyond, and I'm sure you cover these in detail in your book, beyond loading up the car and moving to one of those states.
Yeah, that's right, because not very many people want to move for tax purposes, although, frankly, we have some people who used to live in Pennsylvania that split their time between Pennsylvania and Florida. And funny thing, they want to claim Florida as their primary residence.
Yeah. Well, and the Social Security, though, you touched on several things there. Social Security is a big deal for a lot of people. And when we look at where their income comes from in retirement, and it's something that they definitely have to look at. On that point, Jim, one of the couple of questions I wanted to ask you, because I know you're very close to this, in terms of related to people filing on the other person, the other member of the couple, filing on their benefits, because You know, as you know, Jim, when you file, you can file on your own earning record and or on your spouse's earning record. Do all of the rules apply the same way? Like, for example, to get widow or widower benefit, you have to have been married for, what is it, 9 months or a year? And then also for the divorce, you have to have been married 10 years. Do all those rules work the same way for same-sex couples?
Yes, all those rules are the same, assuming you live in one of the 17 states that does recognize same-sex marriages.
Okay.
And by the way, we could do a whole show on those because survivor benefits can be enormous. I was giving a workshop and I was explaining about that you could file on your divorced spouse's record.
Yeah.
And a woman, she just like burst out and said, "Finally, the no good." And I can't use the words over the radio.
It's finally
but
worth
you get
something.
The idea yeah. is good for something.
Well, yes, they may be. He or she may be good for something after all. Well, and you're right, and I think that because that's such a big topic, Jim, we will definitely do a show on that. But just for our listeners, you and I can stress this together. If somebody is looking at drawing and making a decision about their Social Security, and they go down to the Social Security office and they ask the Social Security office, "I want to file for my Social Security. What do I do?" The job of that Social Security person is not to give them advice, but to tell them and push the button on their computer of how to get the most Social Security benefit that day, which may not be the best thing in the long term.
Well, it's probably the worst thing. And with all due respect to the people who work in Social Security, I'm sure some of them are very good, but they are not long-term financial strategists who have run numbers the way other experts have. And just like I wouldn't go to the bank and ask the teller, "What should I do about my retirement, my investments?" I wouldn't go to Social Security and ask the person who works at the counter about what can be one of the most important financial decisions of your life, which is, you know, when to apply, how to check your earnings record, should you do a technique called apply and suspend? Mm-hmm. Should you do a claim now, claim more later? If you are divorced, what are your options and what's the best strategy? If you are a survivor, what are some of the best strategies there? And I don't think the average person at the Social Security office is really competent to do those types of strategies.
No, that's not really their job. They're going to give you the best, highest benefit combination on the day you elect. And I would urge anyone who is trying to make that decision to consult with an advisor who is experienced and knowledgeable in Social Security that can guide them. Because I've had people come in, Jim, and I've run the numbers, and I'm sure you've done the same, running the number using some sophisticated software and running, you know, thousands of iterations to come up with the right combination of timing and election procedure or option, and it varies by person depending on their circumstance.
It sure does, and there's multiple strategies, and you know, I just actually wrote an article for Trust and Estates magazine, and one of the points of it was you can't just mechanically read one article or listen to one radio show and then know what to do in your situation. Or it's really the kind of thing that it's best to, I mean, I always encourage everybody to learn as much as they can about
sure.
it, but ultimately to go to somebody who actually runs the numbers and who gets it and then plugs in their particular variables, and it's how old they are, what their earnings record is, et cetera, and then coming up with the best long-term strategy.
That's very good. Very well put, Jim. If you're just joining us, Jim Lang, ladies and gentlemen, CPA, attorney, registered investment advisor, outestateplanning.com's website, and the book, Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples. And since you mentioned trust, we'll come back after the break, and we'll talk a little bit about trust for same-sex couples and how all this may affect that and any changes there as well. Stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
If you're just joining us, Jim Lang, CPA attorney, is on the line with me, and he's written the book, Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples, outestateplanning.com. And Jim, I want to pick that attorney brain of yours now and talk a little bit about the estate planning, the trusts, wills. Does any of this change what we've been talking about on this program in terms of the tax ruling and the Supreme Court ruling? Any of that affect how you do that?
Well, it's the biggest difference between planning for a same-sex couple and, let's say, a more traditional couple. So let's say you have what I call the Leave It to Beaver couple, who has original husband, original spouse, and they have the same kid. At least the starting point for their estate planning is what I call I love you wills. I leave everything to you, my husband. I leave everything to you, my wife. And after both, something happens to both of us, the money will go to our kids. And if our kids aren't around, then to our grandkids. So that's maybe a starting point. But one of the big differences, and I think this is going to change as more younger same-sex couples are having children together through either artificial insemination or surrogacy or whatever. But probably for same-sex couples who are in their 50s or 60s or older, they probably don't have children together. And what that often means is that even if they want to provide for each other, which most spouses or committed or people in committed relationships, same-sex or non-same-sex, they certainly want to provide for each other, but they might have different end heirs. So let's just say that neither same-sex partner of the couple ever got married, never had children, and let's assume, to keep life simple, they each have nieces and nephews that they are fond of. So you would have two people who want to provide for each other, but then at the second death have money going in different directions. So that's when you get in, and that's probably, by the way, not all that different than a second marriage with children from a first marriage. So you run into different scenarios and different problems with same-sex couples because they are often have different end beneficiaries.
Well, and I think that's all very well put, Jim. And the other thing that I can see happening or being a question or an issue with some of these changes we just talked about, especially the tax ruling in 2013 where that same-sex couple is treated as married if they have the legal marriage from an appropriate state, that they're treated as married, that could affect and impact and even cause their existing estate planning documents to maybe not really be appropriate for them anymore because some of these things are accomplished by the tax mechanics as opposed to needing to do that extra hoop jumping. That hoop might catch you around the neck as you're jumping through it as opposed to it helping.
Yeah, in fact, I would probably say for virtually all same-sex couples, or I'll even go further and say unmarried couples, that they should probably give a good look to what their both retirement planning, and we haven't even got into issues like Roth IRA conversions, but what makes the most sense in terms of Social Security and estate planning and IRA planning, because the rules are different and the documents that they had before just by a change of the law might be much different, and the advances in the thinking and the strategies that are available are certainly different.
All right, Jim, we'll have to do that on another program. Jim Lang, ladies and gentlemen, CPA attorney, outestateplanning.com, and the book Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate having you on the program.
It's been a pleasure, David. Thank you.
The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.